Today I'd like to preach a message entitled Spiritual Treason and Compromise for Selfish Gain. Listen to me, folks. Listen to me. Listen to me. Spiritual treason and compromise are terrible violations, but they're so common in our day that they basically go unnoticed and unreproved. Most church people have been desensitized, and even though it's so harmful, they don't think anything about it. That destructive duet and temptation primarily targets the so-called spiritual leaders of our day, but any Christian can go astray to that extreme. Imagine what it would be like in the natural. Way back when, now imagine this, how disastrous it would have been for Joshua and his army, and therefore all of Israel, if any of his soldiers, especially the military leaders, were working with the enemy, the leaders in Jericho. Such is even nightmarish to entertain as a possibility. But if that extreme would have occurred, Joshua would have had to quickly stop that treason to the disgrace and probable death of the transgressors for the sake of the entire operation. If success would be achieved at Jericho, it would take faithfulness to the cause, which includes recognizing who the enemy is and treating him appropriately. Now listen, folks, the enemy is the enemy. The enemy is never a co-laborer. The enemy cannot help. He is the problem. To co-labor with or support someone who is the problem or is part of the problem is to become part of the problem too and endanger the entire mission. Furthermore, the indirect message conveyed to all observers of treason, if treason is left unchecked, would be that the enemy camp and his actions are not so bad, and neither are those acts. Spiritually speaking, the vital lessons are the same. There is spiritual treason among those who are supposed to be in the army of God. There is spiritual compromise for selfish gain in our horribly apostate day. Spiritual treason and compromise for selfish gain is widespread, while faithfulness to God for the sake of truth and souls has virtually vanished because the price is considered too costly. To remain faithful and not fraternize with the enemy will mean no gush of popularity and acceptance, which will bring in the finances and additional influence. Instead, increase will be among people who cannot understand what you're doing and even actively oppose such faithful warriors for souls. Many know about the ecumenical compromise among evangelicals and Catholicism, but almost non-existent are those who recognize the deadly influence or compromise with the grace changers. That is, those who change the biblical meaning of grace to allow for immorality. Now that includes not only those who believe in eternal security, but even some who reject it while saying David or Peter, when they turned to adultery, murder, and disowning Jesus, did not lose their salvation. Co-laboring with or endorsing such an enemy of the real gospel of grace will help spread their venomous poison unnoticed, especially among babes in Christ. To work with an enemy of grace will always be ruinous in the end. It is irrationally insane and unscriptural to think lasting good can come out of it. How could someone with a false gospel and counterfeit grace message, who is also responsible for deceiving multitudes on the road to hell, to think they're on the road to heaven, be a suitable co-laborer, or even be tolerated by one who is supposed to be biblically sound and walking in the Spirit? Again, what does spiritual treason and compromise say about those who are involved in it? Folks, Jesus condemned it. He said in Revelation chapter 2, verse 20, "Nevertheless, I hold this against you. You tolerate that woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess. By her teaching, she misleads my servants into sexual immorality and the eating of food sacrificed to idols. Notice what Jesus said there. He said even tolerating those dangerous false teachers is serious before God. Jezebel type teachers, through their false doctrines, deceive Christians into soul damning sins. All one has to do to transgress in that way, according to the Greek, is to permit or let alone such dangerous teachers. So very far beyond that serious offense is working with them. In our apostate day, various such Jezebels are embraced, endorsed, exalted, even by many in an influential position who declare the opposite plan of salvation. This is fact, as shocking as it may sound to some. The spiritual treason in our day is unparalleled. People who should know better are helping teachers who mislead God's servants into sexual immorality. The victims of their disgusting spiritual treason are precious souls. For example, for a Christian to endorse Dave Hunt or Ray Comfort, just two of the many once saved, always saved teachers out there, is to be involved in this transgression. Besides the obvious confusion, in that is also the indirect denial and rejection of scriptural truth about the grace changers. The Holy Spirit was crystal clear about those who changed grace into a license for immorality. Among other details, Jude wrote the following. Folks, listen carefully. The facts are disturbing, but they are true. This is how God views them. Listen, Jude said in verse 4, they're condemned and godless. Verse 10, they speak abusively against what they do not understand. Verse 11, they have rushed for profit into Balaam's error. Verse 12, they're shepherds who feed only themselves. And also they're twice dead. Verse 13, blackest darkness has been reserved for them. Verse 16, they follow their own evil desires. Verse 19, they're divisive and do not have the Spirit. Those are the real facts, regardless how popular or even how sound such people may be in other doctrinal areas not related to grace. Not even one complimentary thing was ever stated about them by the Holy Spirit through Jude. Those people are the enemy of grace and therefore of salvation itself. Did you hear that? I said of salvation itself. They are nothing better than a dangerous enemy who Christians are commanded to battle against, according to Jude. For any minister to befriend an enemy of biblical grace is treasonous to the biblical message and damaging in the battle for souls. And remember this, a treasonous and compromising person is also a major part of the overall problem. Such a disgrace has made it harder to identify the enemy and recognize the lethal danger in that teaching about grace, which leads to immorality. All of that allows for such lethal spiritual poison to spread to the damnation of others. What could possibly motivate a teacher who knows eternal security is false, but who also works with such who teach like Comfort or Hunt or many, many others? If Comfort and Hunt were small known names, do you think such compromise would occur? If not, then the apparent reason is for some kind of ministry advantage, some kind of selfish gain, perhaps manifesting in a larger influence over people, and of course, more finances or other similar end results. One thing is certain, souls are definitely jeopardized by such demonic, compromising actions. Ministry has never been a popularity contest. Christians are in a battle for truth and righteousness, and the battle in its way is not easy. But regardless how easy it might be, things need to change to benefit souls. Remember, no one should endorse or promote a grace changer or a treasonous person who is co-laboring with a grace changer. to do either is to help spread the very doctrinal poison that Christians are commanded to contend against, according to Jude 3 and 4. Plus, it is to share in their wicked work. Repent!